Are you an empath? If so, on a scale of 1 to 10, how strong of an empath are you, with 10 being the strongest? I'd love to find out if you are an empath. I'm Tony Brewski, the host of the show, and I'm working on a super secret project right now involving empaths. In the coming months, I'll be able to talk more about it, but right now we're in the casting phase of this project, looking for the right empaths for this project. If you are an empath with fairly strong abilities, you're closer to the higher end of that scale, are not afraid of being on camera, and are comfortable with sharing your story and abilities with a large audience, I want to hear from you. Please send me an email to casting@realghoststoriesonline.com. That's casting, C-A-S-T-I-N-G, at realghoststoriesonline.com. And we can talk a little bit more about what we're working on here and if you'd be a good fit. casting@realghoststoriesonline.com. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. On today's episode, a woman delivers a message of hope to a mother from a deceased son. Air conditioners don't normally have an evil cackle, so what does? And is a woman able to help a lost spirit boy who passed of TB cross over? Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yep, and 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Write in on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. We'd love to hear your real ghost stories. If you like our show, support us. Become an extra podcast person. We call them EPPs. You go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month to get access to all of our bonus episodes, 400 some of those, access to the advanced episodes of the program that we put out every single week, e-copy of our book, and more. Check it out. $5 a month. Keep us on the air at ghostpodcast.com. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you once again. And how are you today?
I'm not too bad, my friend.
That's good. That is good.
You've been traveling recently.
I have been traveling recently. Just got back as the recording of this just about 2 days ago from St. Louis. Went to the Haunted House Convention is what I call it. The what is it? I forgot what the official name is. But it's where a lot of the folks who put on haunted houses and haunted attractions and things of that nature. It's their biggest show in the country. And they have all the stuff there that you would put in a haunted house. So there's bodies, there's guts, there's just crazy animatronics that like just dwarf anything that you would have seen at Disney when you were a kid. It's amazing what they have at this thing. And I was there because I make radio and TV commercials, so I had a booth for haunted house radio and TV ads, go figure. And it was my first time there, but it was an interesting group of folks. Met a lot of good people. I'd say one of the strangest things that had happened to me wasn't even at the show itself. At night, after the show was done, I really didn't know anybody there, so I was just kind of like, I think I'm going to go find dinner somewhere. So I looked up a restaurant on TripAdvisor. I was just looking for something kind of unique and something kind of different. And I found this one place, and it's called Al's in St. Louis. And it's kind of off by itself, near a railroad track, kind of down by the river, in this district that I think everything around this building has been torn down over the years. And the pictures looked like it was something out of a time machine. Like, they looked like old high-end restaurant pictures, but looked like they were taken in, like, 1962. I just thought,
I would love that.
I got to see this place. I have to go see what this is all about. And it is the oldest restaurant in the city of St. Louis. It is still running. When I walked in the door, it literally felt like I was walking into a time capsule. There was a gentleman there standing, greeting me in a tuxedo. And I think he was kind of like surprised that there was someone that was there. was almost reminiscent.
What? We don't know you.
No, it was reminiscent of the episode of Frasier where Frasier walks into the restaurant that he absolutely loved, and Otto is there, and they were just confused that there's a person, a patron in the restaurant. But there was other people that were eating down in the dining room, but I was just by myself, and it's very much kind of like a couples type restaurant. So went into the bar area, and I had a beverage, and I had a appetizer, and it was just so creepily weird but cool. The bar area is themed like a riverboat, and with these murals on the wall. I'll have to send you a picture. But if you look it up online, you can find pictures of it too. And it literally feels like you're in the 60s. The restaurant, the dining area is still the same. There's no menu. It's one of those where they bring out the food on a big silver platter and then you point and say, I'd like that cut of steak. And just the nicest people. We talked ghosts for a little bit. And I talked about what I was there for and what I do. I tried to get a ghost story out of them out of the restaurant because I figured there might be one or two there. But they were very tight-lipped about that. The bar back is rumored to be from the Lemp Mansion, which is a haunted location there in St. Louis, which we actually talked about in an episode of The Grave Talks here recently, or it's coming up. So that has some history, but... Oh, my goodness. I was afraid when I left the restaurant that I was going to look back and I was going to like see like a, you know, condemned sign or something like been closed for 10 years. And, you know, as if like I walked.
Like, wait, I didn't really just eat.
Exactly.
There.
And I'm not saying condemned like the restaurant should be condemned because it shouldn't. It's in great shape for how old it is. It's a beautiful place, really worth checking out. But I'm just saying it's like, you know, oh, my God, I walked out of a ghost restaurant and nobody's been there or something. But that was that. That was an interesting moment or two in that restaurant. But definitely, if you like that stuff, it's a little hidden gem and worth checking out. I had a good time.
I saw a picture that you posted, and it had to have been from the convention thing, but it was like zombie Scooby-Doo or something.
Yeah, there was a zombie Scooby-Doo setup that one of the companies made.
And it was like life-size.
Oh, yeah. They had the van. It had Scooby, and like Fred's jaw was ripped off. And it was horrifically disgusting. You can see that on our Facebook page, too. I put that up there. But it was interesting. I have one other restaurant story I'll share, but we'll get to it after a break, meaning a ghost story. But the other one is reminiscent of a movie, I guess. It's an interesting one. So stand by. That's coming up. First letter that we got here today, though, says, hi there. This is one of my current stories. I'm very new to your show. My sister told me about your show, and she told me many times to listen to your show. So I gave in and listened. She told me that I could relate to many people on the show, so here I am. I live in Northern Virginia. I don't know how I would express this. I help the spirits to communicate with their loved ones. Then I help them pass over. I have this ability since I was a child. The day my mother passed away, my abilities got a lot stronger. I can kick spirits out of the house. I help make peace with the dead and living and much more. I only help those I work with or word of mouth. I do not charge people for helping them. I recently helped a coworker whose son had passed away. A few days before my coworker's last day of work, her dead son would not stop bothering me until I spoke to his mother about him. I heard voices. I see him jumping around in front of me, pokes me on my back, and so on. Before I start talking about her son, I tested the waters to see if she's a believer. During our conversation, I was the medium for both of them. I heard him, and he hears her, but she cannot hear him. I described her son to her, height, weight, personality, and whatever it is he wanted me to say to her. After 20 minutes, she fell almost to her knees, and tears of joy rushed down her face. She told me this heavy weight on her shoulders had just been lifted. On September 15th of 2018, I'm going to see her for the last time, and this time I'm going to help him go towards the light or move on. His time on this earth is coming to an end. His job is about done. And now he's ready to move on. He told me this while I'm typing this story. I do have many personal stories and experiences. 3 a.m., the hour when they're most active, to me is the time that they wake me up every single night to tell me their story. Most of them ask for help. I cannot help them because I do not know how, however, other than sharing their stories. I don't think that's an ability I'd want to have. Just, I imagine it would be kind of fulfilling if you knew, like, the path that you needed to help them go down. But without it, I don't think I'd want that. Yourself?
I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, I just don't, that's a lot.
It's a big responsibility.
A lot to deal with.
Yeah.
And then, because there's also, you have to run it through that filter of, then you have to decide what's too much for someone to know, what you should be telling someone.
Exactly.
And that would be hard.
It would be. I mean, especially with something like that. I don't know that I could bring myself to going up to that mother and being like, hey, by the way, I can talk to your dead son. Just out of fear of, you know, even if they are a believer in this sort of stuff, what that is going, what sort of emotions it's going to elicit out of that individual. It would just be an incredibly difficult thing to do. You know, in some cases, I think you get this reaction like she got, where it was, you know, tears of joy. Yeah. There was a connection made. But, you know, in some cases, I think you're going to get, well, who the hell are you? There's no way. Get away from me. You know, it could go horrible in the other direction, even if you have the best of intentions. Yeah.
And I think that, like, I think a lot of people who lose someone, there's so many answers that you, or questions that you have, and you don't have the answers for it, and you want to know. Mm-hmm. And so, like, there was, you know, like after my dad died, I would have loved it if someone would have walked up and said, hey, your dad sent a message.
Sure.
So I do think a lot of people would be super open to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be really emotional. And are you telling them the right thing? And is it too much for that person to handle?
And the way that it seems to come at this person, where it's just kind of every random dead person, you know, that they don't even know, just showing up with a message of some sort. You know, I'd almost have to, like, at least know the person a little bit to be comfortable going up and saying, hey, by the way, so-and-so says they're cool over here. But if it's just, the cashier, she's my mom at Walmart, and tomorrow you're going to go buy some grapes, and I want you to give her a message. That would be a little awkward.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have had weird messages from cashiers at Walmart towards me, the customer, with some of the things that they'll talk about, but it'd be really weird the opposite direction. Yeah, that's
especially coming from a Walmart cashier.
Is this?
Expecting that.
I've had some of the strangest. I wish I could remember some specifically, but if you want a strange conversation, that's the place to go sometimes. And just the commentary on, like, the items that you're buying. It's like, oh, I haven't had these before.
Whoa, you must be constipated.
You're having a fancy dinner tonight, aren't you? They're fucking Hot Pockets. What do you consider a fancy dinner? Like, yeah, but they're spinach in these. These are the fancy ones. You know, it's like, okay. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Speaking of fancy, so this other restaurant that I had stopped into when I was on the trip over there, and this is not necessarily a ghost story, but it makes me wonder if there may be other ghosts attached to this place. And I will not say its name because I don't want to get whacked. And I use that a term pretty literally, I think. But another place in town looked like it had some character, a little bit on the older side of things. Went in there, had an appetizer, and I was just sitting there at the bar by myself, and there were some other patrons in there. But the owner was also in there, and he was walking around, and he looked suspiciously like Ray Liotta. It was not Ray Liotta, but it had the same personality of the one from Goodfellas. Like accosting the bartender, like just calling him names left and right. And it was like in public, and this is like a kind of ritzy little place. And I was like, oh my God, what is this? And like, I never, you know, he didn't like pistol whip him or anything, but I thought we may be a few steps away from that. I was just kind of like, this seems uncomfortably odd. And I'm guessing it's just kind of how the place rolls. It has a lot of good reviews, but I really felt like I'd walked into a scene from Goodfellas.
Maybe you kind of did.
I don't know.
You don't know for sure, but maybe you did.
I could tell there were some other people sitting in there that were also tourists in the town that were just kind of watching this stuff play out the way he was reacting and acting towards people. And it was just like, oh, my God. And I saw a couple or I asked another person later in the evening about that place. And I said, what's up? I mean, I was just really kind of shocked by the way that this guy was kind of handling things. And it's kind of there's within the restaurant community, there's a lot of stories about that place. It's like, wow. So that's that. I'll leave the name
out
of it.
But you got out with your life.
I got out with my life, and that was about it. So I was thinking of having more food there, but I don't know. I felt uncomfortable, and I don't think I was like really ever in danger by any means. But one of my biggest pet peeves is when someone treats their staff just like lower than animals. And I just, that was a huge turnoff to me of like, okay, I don't want to spend any money here anymore.
See, but, and if I saw that, I would probably just walk out.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Yeah. I had been sitting there for a few minutes, so I'd already purchased something, but it was just like, I was, after that, I'm like, okay, I'm out. I'm,
After seeing this guy, I will pay for what I've purchased, but I'm leaving.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah. I was not going to try and do it, but there was, it was enough for me to say, okay, this has been fun. Bye-bye. So, good times. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our next story. It says, hey, guys, I'm a recent subscriber to Real Ghost Stories Online through the Google podcast. And I'll sign up to be an EPP. Love the show. And I mean it. I am binge listening. Is that a word? It is now. Your podcast from the beginning until the end. I'm halfway through. I also want to share my story. This happened when I was a kid. One night, some noise woke me up. I didn't know what time it was, but I knew the sound had been going on for a while because it took me a while to focus and I made sure I didn't hear things. I thought it was the air conditioning that made the noise because I knew the air conditioning needed repair or cleaning. An evil cackle is what I heard. Not the air conditioning, because the cackle was very random. If it's the broken air conditioning, then it would make constant noise as soon as we turned it on. I tried to go back to sleep and tried to ignore it. The cackle continued. Change the pitch and volume too, as if it's mocking me. Annoyance and anger took over me. I jumped down from the bed, stood still, and listened. The cackle continued. I realized it came from my baby brother's bedroom, which was connected to my room. So I marched to the bedroom, glanced around. The cackle stopped immediately. Did I stand there for maybe around 15 minutes? The cackle never came back. So I went back to my bed and went to sleep. I never heard the cackle again until recently. And I'm an adult now. Same circumstances. One night I was woken up in the middle of the night and it was near 4 a.m. I went down from the bed and just looked around the room trying to figure out where it came from. The closet. In my mind I said stop and the cackle stopped and that was it. Never felt afraid of it. More of an annoyance. It'll let you know that some of the members of my family are sensitive. One family member can even see spirits. My mom and I can feel them when I was 6 or 7 years old. I could hear whispers, but I didn't understand it at the time. I just thought that the room was noisy. Love to hear what you guys thought about this. Spirit attachment? Should I bathe in sage? Anyhow, keep up the good work. Stay awesome. Carol, your thoughts.
Well, if you're not afraid of it, and it doesn't happen that often, I don't know. Maybe you just... And it's just cackling. It's not like anything's touching you.
Just live with the cackle.
Right? If it doesn't happen all that often, I'd be, oh, you and your cackling. But I don't know how you would stop it, number one.
No.
But if it doesn't happen that often, and if you're not afraid of it, I think you're okay.
And it seemed to respond, too, when he said stop.
Like, stop the cackling. So maybe you can kind of get a relationship with it. Like, really, I'm trying to sleep. No more cackling, please. And if you can, you know...
Yeah.
Maybe that would work.
It's the good cackle.
You're right. It's the good cackler.
The good cackle. It's like, what was The Good Son? That was a movie, wasn't it? It was like, was that the Macaulay Culkin movie? What was, I'm trying to think. The Good Son. Let me look that up.
I don't know. I don't even kind of remember that movie.
It was Macaulay Culkin. It was the one where, I remember it was really messed up, the trailers, because he had just like got out of Home Alone and everything. So everybody's like, oh, he's just the cutest little boy and everything. And in this, he's like this sadistic killer son. A young boy stays with his aunt and uncle and befriends his cousin, a boy the same age, who begins showing increasing signs of violent and psychopathic behavior. I just remember like some of the trailers, like he'd like push a ladder away from a kid and he died. And there's all sorts of crazy shit.
Now that I would have to put my foot down.
Yeah. You'd have to say enough of this.
Like, you know, no, you have to go. But the cackling.
We're not getting frozen yogurt if you take the ladder away from little Jimmy one more time. It's that's just,
I mean that.
It's a bit too much.
No evil. Frozen yogurt.
Evil has many faces. That's what the trailer is. Let's see if I can play the trailer and see if this brings back any memories. 12 Oh, it's got to, of course, play another trailer before it. So let's, as soon as this thing is done, I'll play the trailer. Because I think this is a movie like we came out when I was a kid and I went, I really want to see this. But I never.
Because I love Macaulay Culkin.
But I never got to see it. Okay, here's the trailer from back in the day of the Good Son. Take a listen. From director Steve Sleeping with the Enemy. I'm just reading off the stuff.
You're a doctor. You know things.
Some things.
What if there was this boy? You did these terrible things because you liked doing them. Wouldn't you say he was evil?
I don't believe in evil.
You should. If I let you go, you think you could fly?
I read that line.
The Good Son.
He's like holding the
kid. What do you think this is, a game?
He's holding like a kid by his arm off the top of the treehouse, and he goes, if I let you go, you think you could fly? I remember that line. I think like kids used it when I was a kid.
And you know, the thing is, like, I don't know that I'd be afraid of cackling if I, well, I, no way, I take that back. If in the middle of the night I heard cackling, I would be afraid.
Yeah.
But if I heard that kind of music playing in my house and I couldn't find it.
Yeah.
You wanna be, then I'd be like, you know, I have just walked into a horror movie.
If you want to be
hearing the music, where is it coming from?
If you want to be a demon and really freak people out, all of this whispering shit and the knocking and all that. I mean, if you really, really, truly want to freak people out, what you need to do is do more horror music to freak people out. If you can do all anything you want, why not? That's what's going to really
Audio Jungle.
You know, just like the piano and kind of builds up, and you know, that's what you need to do. Play weird ambient horror music.
Just like hide a little Bluetooth speaker. You know, go to a party.
Sure.
Hide the Bluetooth speaker, and then when everybody's, you know, kind of leaving the party, start the music.
It's the way to do it. Yeah, that's what you need to do. That's our tip for demons everywhere. 855-853-4802, our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Next letter says, hey guys, my name's Heather. I'm from West Michigan. I'm reaching out today to tell you about something that happened when I was younger, about 8 or so. My mom and I had slept in my childhood bedroom. I didn't like sleeping alone. It freaked me out. It was around maybe 6 or 7 a.m. one morning, and the sun had just started to light up the sky. I'd woken up for one reason or another. I was trying desperately to go back to sleep. I was lying there tossing and turning when I started to hear the noise at my feet, like crumpling paper. My dad and my brother were sleeping in my parents' room, and our dogs are outside inside dogs, but always slept outside, and they were big dogs. I wouldn't have seen them looking upset at the end of the bed, but I didn't. It sounded almost like a newspaper, and it sounded like it was being smashed around in someone's hand, like someone was just mindlessly playing with the paper, causing a ruckus. This did not wake up my mother, and I didn't want to wake her up either. In fear, she'd tell me it's just my mind or I was dreaming or something along those lines. The sound went on for a few minutes and then suddenly it just stopped. I don't remember having a particular feeling or aura coming from where the sound originated from, only fear from hearing the noise and not understanding where it was from. I covered my head and slowly fell back asleep, and when I finally awoke for the day, I searched my bedroom floor, curious if I could figure out where the sound was coming from. Found nothing. There was nothing on my floor. My room was clean. I had no posters on my walls or a fan or anything like that. I don't know what this was or if it was paranormal. I'm curious to hear what you guys have to say about my experience. Thank you for doing what you guys do. I listen to your podcast every day and am very intrigued by everything that I hear on your show. There you go. Another one where the ghost, if it just would have taken the advice and played some horror music, it would have been a lot more clear what the hell was going on.
Right, because then we'd be like, there was the music. What other hint did you need?
Exactly. The crumpling paper, not good enough, because that could be like a gerbil or something, you know?
Well, it could be. Exactly. It could be a mouse. Yeah. And I'm about as afraid of mice as I am of ghosts. So that's like six of one, half dozen of the other. Because when I hear those weird sounds like that, I'm like, it's a mouse.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's something bigger. Maybe a raccoon got in my house or a possum.
Even better, a ghost.
Then I'd be like, whew, just a ghost.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Are you almost hoping for the ghost at that point? Like, yes, maybe the bodies are moving in the walls.
Well, because one day a possum came in my house.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Well, I was in the basement because I have a living room in the basement, yeah, too. And so I'm down there watching TV and I heard this weird thud. And I was like, that's a weird thud from the kitchen. Then I heard the thud again. And when I heard the thud the third time, then I'm like, paranormal. This is really weird. So I turn on the light to go up the basement stairs, and at the top of the stairs was a possum. I about shit. And so I screamed to my dog. I'm like, buddy, buddy, get over here. There's a possum. And Buddy was sleeping, and he's like, what? And it was so funny because he was like standing there looking at me like I was crazy, and then he must have smelled it. He goes flying up the stairs, chased it outside because I had forgot I'd left the back door open.
Oh, there we go.
So the possum just walked in and he was trying to climb up to get to the, I have the dog food in a container, but it's up a couple shelves, mm-hmm, on a wire rack. And he was knocking the cans off trying to get to the dog food. Yeah. So then I was convinced that the possum had run into the living room. I'm like, I don't know where it went. I'm going to have to move.
Were you concerned that maybe he brought some friends with him and you had not found them yet?
Oh, my God. All night long. I'm like, there's more in here. There's something else in here. I don't know where it is. But then I finally convinced myself my dog would have smelled it by now. You know, no,
sure,
matter what it is. But yeah, that was pretty scary.
They're kind of cute, ugly little guys. I see them on the roads here all the time, just kind of wandering around. And it's like, what is? Oh, it's a possum.
Yeah. And they're pretty creepy when they're in your house.
I could see that being a little unnerving. Yeah. We have a fox that wanders around here really close to the house. We call him Skanky Fox. And because he looks pretty skanky. And I think he has mange. I'm not sure.
No.
But he's been around this neighborhood, I guess, for like years. Because I had asked some people, like, oh, that fox is always around here. No worries. At first, I thought like rabies or something because he really looked in rough shape. But he just walks around, really not afraid of much. And I saw him just kind of sunning himself in the road one day, and I stopped. He gets up. And I just kind of open my window to look down at him. He just walks over like a dog and just looks up at me and kind of has this big smile. Like, hi, I'm Skanky Fox. Welcome to my road. And like he's going to invite me into like a blues and strip club, like down in the woods or something. I got some real sexy ladies down here. You want to come down? Just follow the path. I'm like, fuck, that's weird.
I'm Skanky Fox.
It's weird for a fox to be saying that shit to me in this neighborhood. It was, and he just kind of just walked away a little bit and went away. And every once in a while, I'll see him just kind of come out of the woods and he's kind of like, ah, I'm Skanky Fox. That's how he talks.
I'm old and I don't care. Yeah.
You fucking hit me? Who cares? I've been hit 42 times.
Because I'm really a skanky ghost fox.
And I still keep on ticking. Energizer Bunny ain't got shit on Skanky Fox. That's kind of how he is. Good old Skanky Fox.
Funny.
But yeah, he's an interesting character. I think it'd be great, like, write a children's book about Skanky Fox. Meet Skanky Fox. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next letter says, I started listening recently at work and thought I should write in. When I was younger, sometimes during or before elementary school, I had two weird experiences. The first happened after everyone went to sleep in my house. We sleep on the second floor of the house. I had my room, and when my family would go to sleep, every light in the house would be off except maybe night lights and a TV. The way I slept, my bed faced a door in my room so that I could see the staircase in the hallway. I remember back then, when I stared into the darkness in the hallway for my bed, I'd see all kinds of shapes, things that kind of looked like dogs or snakes, but I thought that was very normal. Your eyes play tricks on you. That night, though, I saw a short humanoid shadow form at the stairs. At the time, I thought it looked like a shadow version of a Jaw from Star Wars. I remember taking double takes, like hiding my face in the pillow, then looking back, and every time I looked back, it was closer and closer. Once it was in my room, I screamed at the top of my lungs, and I think I hid under the covers because I don't remember seeing it disappear. My dad came running out of my parents' room with a bat in his underwear. Checked the whole house, and of course, no one was there. They moved my bed so I couldn't see the stairs after that and slept with my teddy bear covering my face as long as I was sleeping in that room from then on. In my adult life, I can't sleep alone without a TV and lamp on, and 100% blame it on this experience. My second experience, I think, happened sometime after. Still, in the same house. We lived there till I was almost done with sixth grade, almost during a time where I should have been asleep. For some reason, my mom had made me and my sister sleep in my parents' room. Dad wasn't home. On top of that, she barricaded the door that led to the hall with a hamper, which she'd never done before. My mom and my sister slept in the bed while I slept on this wooden structure that my dad built in front of the window. While the others were asleep, I started hearing my name being called from the other side of the door. I remember thinking it sounded robotic, not like any voice I'd ever heard. All I heard is my name called a number of times, like maybe 5 to 10 times, and no other words. After it stopped, I just continued trying to sleep. When I got older, my mom revealed to me she never felt comfortable in that house and saw a shadow person cross her path in the living room at one point. She doesn't remember exactly why she gathered us in the room that night, but seeing his dad wasn't home, she said she probably didn't feel safe that night. So yeah, as an adult, both of these experiences could be written off as possible dreams, or like being awake, but still in that dream state. When I was a kid, I was 100% sure I was awake. Also, no one had died in the house. It was a condo that was built right before we moved in. Thanks for reading my story. Thanks for giving me some extra content to listen to on my overnight shifts. What are your thoughts on that, seeing the things in the room?
Oh, I mean, it happened to me when I was a kid.
That's true.
You know, so yeah, that could totally happen. And I also get that it really changes how you sleep for a very long time. Like, I can sleep at home fine, but like if I go to a hotel, I'm the same way. Like, I have to have the TV on, a light on. Mm-hmm. Like, I cannot sleep in a hotel room. Period.
Is it because it's unfamiliar, or why is that?
I think that, and especially there's some hotels, I like the old ones, I just walk in and I get that weird feeling. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'll never sleep here. There's no way.
Those are the places I sleep best. I'm like a vampire or something.
Show off.
But it's
no,
true.
I totally get that, living in a house like that.
It's, I can't imagine going through that. That would be really just, you know, it would be scarring as far as, you know, your sleep patterns going forward.
Especially because you're a kid. That shouldn't be happening.
When I was a kid, I didn't see much. I didn't really have any experiences where I can say I woke up in the middle of the night and thought I saw things. As an adult, my eyes will play tricks on me. Sometimes if I'm dreaming about something, like specifically like lizards or snakes or spiders or something of that nature. And I had this happen the other night, and I talked about it on the other episode with Jen. I was dreaming about lizards because they're starting to come out here. So I guess it was on my mind. And I opened my eyes when I woke up from my dream. It was about 4 in the morning, and there's a little bit of light kind of in our room from whatever ambient, you know, sources there are. So you can kind of see things a little bit, enough to get out of bed and know where you're going. And the shadow, I could have sworn I saw like a lizard sitting on like Jen's side of the bed. And then I looked over in the other area. There's another lizard there. But it was just like the shadow of it. And then it just kind of faded away into nothingness. It was almost like, you know, when you look at a light for a second or two and then look away, you still see the light. It was that sort of a thing where it's almost like burned in your mind. And then you're seeing it in your eye and then it's gone.
And I see how like shadowy things can do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, but the fact that the other things happen in the house.
Yeah, I totally think that this guy's story, something totally paranormal. This is my only way to relate to it, is my non-paranormal ways of seeing things. But it's weird nonetheless. It's a weird feeling when you're like, holy shit, that was there and then it's gone.
Well, I would, yeah, like wake up in the middle of the night and think you see a lizard.
Yeah.
Might as well be a possum or a ghost.
I'm just waiting for the time when this shit happens. I'm like, oh, it's my fucking eyes. And then I reach down and like I pick up like a copperhead or something.
Oh my God.
Like, oh God. Like, you know, that'll.
It really was something.
That happened. Damn it. All right. Time to suck the pus. Who wants to do it? You know, so, wake up the kids. We'll have a little.
Can't you pee on it or something like that?
No, I don't think that's what you do when you get a snake bite. I think that's. Okay. I don't know what the hell that is. That's something else, though. I think you got to like suck the venom out or something when you get the, I don't know. So don't take my advice. If you ever get bit by a copperhead, anyone, don't go. I heard on Real Ghost Stories Online once, you got to suck the venom or suck the pus. Like, don't take that.
Or
as,
you pee on it. I can't remember what they said.
Let's pee and suck on it. Which order should we do it?
Okay, somebody just heard that part. That would be bad. You know,
it sounds like we're talking about an R. Kelly
weird
video.
Things that happen. It just happened. Last night, I was sound asleep, and the doorbell at my house doesn't really go ding dong. It's more like a muted bonk. Like, it just sounds weird.
Mm-hmm.
And middle of the night, I woke wide up like somebody shook me because I swear I heard the doorbell. And I laid there, and I didn't hear it again, but I'm like, somebody's at the door.
Mm-hmm.
But do you answer it? And I'm like, I don't want to look out the door.
Sure.
I don't, whatever it could be. I don't know if I just dreamt I heard it, but it was like I woke up suddenly.
Uh-huh.
And I don't have a screen door. I just have a door. So if I open it up.
Yeah.
And so I can walk to a window and look out. But I just laid there debating, like, and I'm like, okay, I don't really think I heard the doorbell, or did I? Is there somebody out on the front porch? I don't know, but I don't want to see. Do I want to see? Like, I couldn't bring myself to look out the window.
Yeah.
I just, would you?
Like, no, it's.
Would you open the door in the middle of the night?
No.
Compared to the doorbell?
Hell no. No, I mean, I may, if I could find a way to look out a window without them seeing me, I may do that. I have one of those camera doorbells, so I just use that if I need to.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I need that.
But and I know, like, every once in a while, there's reports in our neighborhood of like kids going around and ringing doorbells in the middle of the night, and then they post the picture of the kids that have been doing it because it gets caught on video, and then it goes to all of the neighborhood who has these doorbells, which is kind of nice because then hopefully you can get to the parents and stop the insanity. But, you know, prior to those days, no. What you're describing, I think, is what is, we've talked about it before, it's that exploding head syndrome where you're almost asleep or you're kind of asleep and you hear something. I've had that too, where I've heard what sounded like, I've had that exact same thing where it was, mine wasn't doorbell, but it sounded like someone was knocking on my door. This is when I was in an apartment years ago. And it sounded like just, you know, the three knocks. And I was like, oh, my God, somebody's here. And I would like, but why? There's nobody supposed to be here. But it's that you're half asleep thing and your mind just produces it. It's vivid as hell and scary because you don't know if it was real or if it was not.
Yeah, because in the middle of the night, nobody should be ringing your doorbell.
No, no, I would not
or
be.
Or are they?
Carol thought someone was at the door.
In my head, I was doing him.
She went to answer it, and it turned out to be... what can I put in there? Hey, the clown. We'll talk about your clown thing in a minute. That you were at. I'm curious about that. First, another letter. It says, I'm the first time user of this podcast. And to be quite honest, I thought I would never be writing in a story. I don't always believe in ghost stories. I'll take you back a couple of months before my experience. I was like most of the population, working hard, depressed, wondering how to pay a mortgage. Every normal person's woes. My wife always believed in the afterlife and attended angel card readings and suggested that I should go to one and give me direction in life. Well, I attended it. And to tell you the truth, it made me feel good. She told me that I had a light and that I was special in a way that'll bring good to others and that I'll find myself over the next few months and I'm on a new spiritual chapter. I hadn't a clue what she was all about, but it made me feel good about myself. A couple of months passed and the angel reading was gone out of my head, but things were changing in me. I know it sounds crazy, but voices were in my head. My voice, but someone else's thoughts. For a while, I thought I was going crazy. I had to put that to one side for the last 7 weeks because my second youngest child was waking up every night between 1 a.m. and 4 a.m. crying hysterically. I was a wreck. One night, I stayed up watching a film while my wife and the young family were in bed. It was about 12:30 a.m., and I walked down towards my bedroom, past my second youngest child's room, and caught something out of the corner of my eye. I swung around and there was a kid ghost about 3 feet tall and partially configured, as in his bottom half looked real and his top half did not. I ran behind the half-open door and banged it open to see a blur rushing to my son's bed and disappearing, and with that, my son roared. I stood there listening to my son roar for a minute and then went back and woke my wife to tell her that Cameron was crying. She eventually got him back to sleep and came back out to me in the hallway. She knew there was something up with me, and I told her. She freaked out. She believed me right away. Up to this point in my life, I've never seen anything like this before. I felt confused, but not scared in the slightest, even though I said if I ever saw one, I'd probably freak out. My wife contacted her cousin, who's a quantum healer, the following day, and told her the story. She asked her spirit guide to find out about what I saw. Her spirit guide said that it was a boy of 4 years old who had made several attempts to be seen to my wife and failed, and he then turned his attention to me. Luckily, he was a good ghost and all he wanted was to find his mom and dad and that he enjoyed playing with my son. She put us in touch with a spiritual cleanser. Came to our house 2 weeks later. That was the longest 2 weeks ever. Cameron woke more and more every night. Voices in my head were back stronger and the noises. Anything from one knock on the bedroom window every so often, swishing noises in the hallway, talking as in 3 to 4 words at a time. Finally, when this man showed up, he cleansed all of this. He said that straight away he saw the energy of Cameron and said that he had what he had, his ability to see and hear at a higher vibration, and that the spirits will decide if his future to see spirits is going to be a regular one. He may lose it when he's 7 years old, or it may continue. He told me that the boy was playing with Cameron, that he had died in 1912 from TB and was lost and wanted to play with him. He was sorry for causing trouble and just wanted to find his parents. I felt terrible for the kid. He called me aside and said that he had a message for me. He told me that my friend had died in a car crash when he was 20 years old and was wishing well for me, and also that I had a ghost attached to me. He said that he died only recently, and he stuck to my aura, and that he was electrocuted. He said that he was polishing. I don't know what that means. I said that I don't know him, and I left it at that. He said he was polishing. Okay, I don't know what that was. After an hour, he had cleansed the house and seen ghosts or spirits in or on their way. Later, after he left, I checked the internet for Polish. I said it was a Polish. So spell check, I think, got that. He was a Polish guy, and we found him. He died in 2007 in a recycling plant in Ireland and was electrocuted. I froze because only 3 months before this, I had been working there for the electrical service. He followed me from there. Was hoping to find his way home. There you go. Ghosts attached to you.
See, I don't want that.
It's a bonus.
I need my space.
It's like having a pet. You don't have to
feed.
Like,
you can't attach yourself to me.
No.
And I don't want to hear all this stuff and the sounds and the words and the laughing and walking and stuff.
Yeah. I think I get that it's a kid, you know, that was there with the first part of the story where the kid was there just wanting to play. I'm glad that he was able to cross over. It's one of those are sad stories where the kid's kind of stuck. And
I think so, too. And how does that happen?
I don't know. I don't know what the confusion is or how the confusion is. You know, do they realize that they're dead? You know, I think they would if there's constantly people going through this house and you're the only one that they're not seeing, and your family's not there. But, you know, it can also be, I guess, kind of almost like a dream state. Sometimes, you know, when you, have you ever had dreams where you're in a completely different mindset than what you are in real life? Like, people in your life never existed, and you don't have any memory of them. I've had that, where it's just, like, weird. It's like you're in a whole different life. And then you wake up.
Yeah, I've had that, where I'm, like, an entirely different person.
Yes. And I suppose, you know, that if that's kind of, it's like almost like a weird amnesia. And I suppose if that's how it is for some of these ghosts that are constantly there, you know, since 1912, maybe every day is just that amnesia. And it's always just confusion over and over and over, and it never ends. I mean, the blessing of that is you don't realize you've been doing that for 100 years, but the, you know, insanity of it is you've been doing it for 100 years with no one helping. So,
I know. That I hadn't really thought of it like that, like an amnesia sort of thing, but it could be.
Yeah. So you had mentioned before we went on the air, you went to some sort of clown thing, and I saw a picture on Facebook.
Yeah.
What the hell was that?
Pity party.
What is Puddle's pity party?
And he was like on America's Got Talent or something like that, but I'd never watched that show.
Okay.
So I had no point of reference for this guy. It was the oddest, most interesting yet funny show. I don't even know how to describe it. He's like 600 feet tall. I think he's 6'8", actually. So he makes a very large clown. So anybody who has that clown phobia thing, not the show for you at all.
Is he like a traveling show, or like what is it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. He's doing a national tour. Oh. But it was very odd. And then he doesn't talk, and he does kind of comedy bits with the audience that were really good. But then he sings, and he sings really well, and he sings really sad songs and stuff. Like, it was the oddest thing.
I'm on his website. I see Dancing Queen.
Honest to God. You
emo style.
I think you would love him.
Let's take a listen to this. This is Puddles doing Dancing Queen.
Yeah, emo style. Does different arrangements than you would expect.
Friday night and the lights alone. Looking out for a place to go.
Wow. Okay. I get it. Well, how was the show?
I really liked it.
Yeah.
I had no idea what it was going to be. And what was funny is that we're sitting there waiting for the show to start, and we're about halfway back in the house. And this is a really one of those old theaters that every city has. The Orpheum, you've been there.
Yeah.
So every town has one of those old theaters they're renovating forever.
Forever, yeah.
So I see the people in the front, like the front rows, they're looking up in the balcony and they're taking pictures and stuff. And I'm like, oh, it must be somebody famous up there. Well, Kirstie Alley is the only famous person who lives in my town.
Uh-huh.
And we're like, Kirstie Alley? And I'm like, Kirstie Alley wouldn't be sitting in the balcony. And so it was Puddles. And so he starts the show like up in the balcony, walking around, shaking hands, and he makes his way down. And that's that picture I posted. He was literally the row behind me. Just walking around, shaking hands on his way to the stage. It was just I would recommend it. I thought it was very entertaining, but very weird.
That sounds creepy and wonderful. It would be great if he made like, because we have all the, you know, some of the washed up country accent. Well, not even so much anymore. We don't even have that much here anymore. But I think he'd make a great addition to Branson.
Well, and it's one of those guys that I was trying to figure him out. I got to look him up. But I'm like, you know, he's probably one of those guys that's got this really good voice.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe, you know, it's like, I want to hit it big. I just don't know how. I'm going to dress up like a clown.
Sure.
And it's going to be Puddle's Pity Party.
I love it.
It works.
I would totally see that if it came to town. That sounds fun.
Yeah. I would actually travel to go see him. I think you'd like him.
Was anybody like at the show, like not knowing what they were getting into, thinking they were going to like see just a clown show?
Well,
they got this.
I was probably like, I had no point of reference.
Okay.
But people immediately are yelling things like, oh, Puddles, are you sad? Like, no. And then you need some gum. He's got this whole bit with bubble gum. And people are yelling, "You need gum." And I'm like, "Oh my God, he's got groupies and everything." For real groupies.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it was really good. I loved it.
I will check that out sometime if he's ever in the area. That will wrap up the program for today. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Sign up to be an EPP Extra Podcast Person. Ghostpodcast.com is where you do that. Get access to all the bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week, advanced episodes of the show. You get those. You get an ebook, Amazon bestseller right there, $14 value. It's yours when you sign up. $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.